And I know you spotlight me, but I'm going to unspotlight myself. Thank you so much. So, Andrea, I have to say that when you asked me in the summer, oh, can you teach a class for the month of Nisan? I'm like, sure, it's so far away, right? Why not? But then when it comes down to it, you know, the tension of like, am I preparing the shiur or am I cleaning out the closet? Which one is it going to be? The struggle was real. But I am so happy to be here tonight and to have had the opportunity to prepare a shiur on Chodesh Nisan because, as you know so much from the Masorah program, there is no better way to prepare for the Chagim, but only through Torah study and really thinking what this Yontif means to us. And tonight's class is taking a step back and looking at the broader picture of what the month of Nisan means and how Pesach fits into the bigger picture of that. So I'll begin by looking at the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. I mean, this whole series is about the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, but I'm the lucky one to actually have the opportunity to look at the pasuk, which is the mitzvah we're commanded in the month of Nisan. So let's look. Sorry, just one second. Maybe it will be easier for you. You know what? How about you share the screen so I don't have to worry about the screen sharing? Is that okay? I'll stop sharing for a minute. Go ahead. That way, I'll tell you when to toggle on and off, so it's not blocking me. Okay, thank you. So the pasuk tells us in Parsha Shmos, "Hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim, rishon hu lachem lechadshei hashana." This is when Bnei Yisrael are still in Mitzrayim, and Hashem commands Moshe and all the Jewish people the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And it's interesting, we have two ideas actually embedded in this very pasuk, which Rashi points out. The first idea is the idea that we count our calendar according to the moon. And Rashi quotes the Mechilta, the Midrashic explanation, that Hashem showed him, Hara'u levana b'chidusha. Hashem was showing Moshe the moon in its new crescent. And that's the significance of Hazeh. Hashem is actually pointing to something. This month, HaChodesh, what are we referring to? The month, the moon in its Chiddush stage, in its Mechudash stage, in its new crescent. And Hashem said, when you see the moon looking like this, that's when Rosh Chodesh is. And this is a very important point. There's really two ideas embedded within this first part of Rashi, and that is, not only do we follow the lunar calendar, but when does the month begin? We might have thought that maybe the month begins, I don't know, in the middle of the month when there's a full moon, or I don't know, at any other point in the month. But Hashem is specifically telling Moshe that it's when the sliver, when the crescent of the moon is seen, that's when it's a new month. But of course, we know the concept of Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. The pasuk cannot be taken out of its simple literal meaning. And based on the flow of the entire pasuk, what is the second interpretation of Rashi? HaChodesh Hazeh is not referring to the size of what the moon looks like when we establish Rosh Chodesh, but rather, according to the Pshat, it refers to the month that we found ourselves in at that point, which is the very first month. As Rashi says, Al Chodesh Nisan Amar Lo Zeh Yeh Rosh Leseder Minyan HaChadashim. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be the very first of the months, and we count from there onward. So that an Iyar is considered the Sheni, and Sivan is considered the Shlishi, and so on and so forth. So again, the two ideas that we see in this Rashi is, number one, we follow a lunar calendar, and number two, the calendar begins with the month of Nisan. And these two ideas really beg the question. You can stop sharing the screen for a moment. I could see everybody. This really begs the question, and that is, why indeed do we follow the lunar calendar, right? Most societies follow a solar calendar. And the truth is, we're coming off of the heels of Adar Sheni. We have an added month of Adar to realign the solar and the lunar calendar, because even though we're primarily a lunar calendar, we do have this concept that we need to have our Yomim Tovim in certain seasons. And since there is a discrepancy of 11 days between the solar and the lunar calendar, after a few years, our Yomim Tovim would not be in the right season. Pesach would no longer be in the spring, and Sukkot would no longer be in the fall. And so we have an added month like we have this year to match them back up together. So So why do we need the lunar set calendar at all? Like we could have just the solar calendar. So clearly we're primarily a lunar calendar, but we also want to align with the solar calendar. And the question is why? What is it about the moon that's so significant to us as Jews? And the second question we want to understand is, we know that Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the new year, right? It feels like so long ago, but it's only been 6 months. So there's a kind of like we have this, Rosh Hashanah 6 months ago, and then Nisan, and then 6 months later is Rosh Hashanah again. So why indeed is Nisan considered the Rosh Chodeshim? Why not Rosh Hashanah? So to answer the first question, we're going to talk about the concept of Chodesh. What does Chodesh mean? Chodesh comes from the word Chidush, which is renewal. Often we meet somebody, maybe you're walking down the street, and if you're in Israel, you say, Ma chadash, or even in English, we say, what's new? And what often is the response that people say when you ask what's new? Feel free to chime in. Same old, right? And that's actually not really a Jewish concept. The whole concept that Rosh Chodesh teaches us is that we're supposed to have hischatzos in our lives. We're supposed to have a sense of newness. We should not respond same old. We have to find a way, and we'll develop this theme more, this concept of chidush in our lives. And that's really what the moon is coming to teach us. We cannot ignore the fact that tomorrow, so many people are looking forward to the solar eclipse. It's a major event, and millions of people are planning to watch it carefully, safely, of course, with solar glasses. And it's an event that's not going to happen again until 2044. Now, what's interesting is I started to look into this because I was like, wow, this is not coincidental. It's Hashgacha Pratis that we're, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's, the solar eclipse. That the solar eclipse always happens around the new moon, exactly as we have it happening right now. And this time that it's happening, it's not only any new moon, but it's the Rosh Chodeshim, right? It's the very first new moon that Hashem was telling Moshe about. And what we see over here is this is the point where, right before Rosh Chodesh is the darkest point, darkest part before the moon becomes, its tiny little crescent. And it's at this moment, in Meretz Hashem, tomorrow, right before Rosh Chodesh, that the moon, the little moon, is going to eclipse the sun, which is 400 times larger than it. And it's really an amazing thing. And I think Hashem, I hope Hashem, we're davening that this is a message of hope for us, that just as Hashem told Moshe this message, look up. You're still in the dark times of Golos, you're still in Mitzrayim, but I want you to look up at our friend, the little moon in its new crescent. And I want you to know that the moon story Hashem is telling Moshe is our story. And the fact that we go through periods, maybe there's a period of darkness, but there's going to be a period of light. There's going to be good times that are going to come in Meretz Hashem, Am Yisrael Chai. That's the message of the moon, and the fact that the moon is going to renew itself and is going to grow and get bigger. This concept of hischatzos does not only have to be born out of a negative experience. I mean, I don't think that anybody can ignore the difficult year that it's been, and the fact that we really sense and are praying for the miraculous Chodesh Nisan. The miracle could happen even before Chodesh Nisan begins tomorrow night. But we this concept of hischatzos applies even at any point, right? It's the concept that the moon is always going through periods of change, and that represents the concept of growth. So I'd like you to actually look at source number three, if you don't mind sharing the screen again, which is something very interesting that the Medrash points out. I was kind of shocked when I saw this, and that is that fish, whenever it rains, I never checked this out for myself, but this is what the Medrash tells us, they rise to the surface and open their mouths to taste rainwater. And that's a very strange phenomenon if you think about it, because they live in the water, right? There's no shortage of water. So what is it that they're looking for, that they're opening their mouths to drink water outside of the ocean or whatever body of water that they're in? And the idea really is that people, and I guess fish too, are always looking for something new and different. There's this sense of excitement and freshness that comes with something with novelty. We don't want to experience the same old, the same old. So for the fish, they're surrounded with water and they always have that water. It kind of reminds me, people exchange recipes all the time and like, oh my gosh, your salad was amazing. I'm like, oh really? I'm so bored of it. But you tell me your salad recipe because I'm looking for something new and something different. And there's actually a the Talmud Yerushalmi talks about, you can stop sharing the screen for a second, how the sage Rav Avahu once entered the yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan in Tveria, and he looked so excited and so enthusiastic, and his Talmidim, his students, asked him, like, what's going on? Like, why are you in such a great mood? You have, a sparkle in your eye. And he said that he had discovered a new Tosefta. The Tosefta are teachings of the Tanaim. They're not included in the Mishnah. And this caused him to have tremendous excitement. Now you have the whole, Shisha Sidra Mishnah, but something new, a novelty. And obviously for him, the enthusiasm was a novelty, and in Chidushei Torah was something that brought him great excitement. And that's the whole concept of Hischatzos. And we know that we mentioned in davening that Hashem is mechadish betuba b'chol yom ma'aseh bereishis. Hashem is constantly renewing the world. I mean, if we can live our lives, and I'm talking to myself, and wake up in the morning and not just like, oh, what's all the things I have on my to-do list for Pesach, but like, yes, I get to experience a new day, and what newness and what novelty and what fresh approach can I approach the day with? That is a very Jewish concept. That is the concept of Hischatzos. Now, something that's interesting to point out is that there's actually two words for month in Hebrew. We have the word, we always talk about Chodesh, but there's also another word, and that word is Yerach. And Yerach makes sense because Yerach is related to the word Yareach, right? It's connected to the meaning of the word month. And Chodesh, as we said, is a reference in particular to the concept of the moon renewing itself, Chidush. So, what's the difference between the two? Why do we specifically, Hashem is talking to Moshe in the pasuk that we referenced before, and Hashem says, HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim. Hashem is not saying, HaYerach hazeh hu lachem rosh yerachim. So what's the significance there? Is there any message embedded in that? So if you can look at the next source, which is source number four. So we have two psukim that we're going to point out, and one pasuk is in Chumash Devarim, which talks about a man who's getting married, and it says ki yikach ish isha chadasha. I'm not going to go through the rest of the pasuk, and it refers to a man who is marrying an isha chadasha, a new wife. On the other hand, we find the word yerachim mentioned in a pasuk in connection with Moshe, and Moshe's parting address to Bnei Yisrael before his passing. He mentions Mimeged tfuos shamesh, Gerash. He speaks about the sweetness of the produce of the sun and the sweetness of the moon's yield. And we find something interesting that over here, the word Gerash is referring to the produce, things that are somehow influenced by the moon. There are certain vegetation that grows, vegetables that grow because of the moon's influence. And that is referred to as Gerash, the moon's yield. But the word gerish is also related to the word gerushin, which means divorce. So, is there any significance that we can learn from that? So, actually, the Levush, if you look at source number six, this is by Rav Shneur Ashkenazi from Israel, shares this. And he points out, and I had the opportunity to be at a wedding today. So, I was listening closely to the Ksuba as it was being read. And in the Ksuba, it mentions the date of the wedding on this and this day of the week, and this day of the Chodesh. So the word Chodesh is used in a ksuba. On the other hand, in a divorce document, the word Yerech is used. So that's interesting. The Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffe, explains the message, and he relates it back to the pasuk that we mentioned, Ki yikach ish isha chadasha, in source number four, versus Gerash Yerachim, right? In the context of Moshe's parting address, separation, leaving the Bnei Yisrael, the word Yerech is used, and about Isha Chadasha, when it comes to a marriage, the word Chodesh is used. And what Rav Ashkenazi develops in this idea, as he's explaining, is if a person wants to have a marriage that's alive and dynamic, and you can apply that to other contexts, you can broaden that to other types of relationships as well. We have to ask ourselves, do I want a relationship that's like a Yerach, or do I want a relationship that's like a Chodesh? And Chodesh means that I'm always investing in the relationship so that there's a sense of newness and aliveness and vitality and freshness, and always approaching our spouses in that way, the people that we meet that way, our children, our grandchildren. It's not just, oh, same old, yeah, of course, you know, we've known each other, we've lived with each other for so many years, but can I see you from a fresh perspective and not just see you maybe locked into the personality traits that I've known you to be from the past, but can I have a growth mindset? You know, so much of modern psychology speaks about the difference between a fixed mindset, you know, things are fixed and that's it, versus a growth mindset. And that's really what the message of Chodesh and Iskhatris is, not only in the way we see ourselves and the possibility for our growth, but also in the way we nourish our other relationships. And in particular, the message here related to marriage, having a marriage that's very much influenced by Chodesh and Chiddush. So at this point, we've spoken a lot about Chodesh, Hizchachos, and we're going to move on to the fact that Nisan is called in the Torah Chodesh HaRishon. There's actually three different names for the month of Nisan. Everybody says, you know, rolls off our tongue. We say, oh, it's the month of Nisan, right? It's time to start preparing for Pesach. But it's also known as Chodesh HaRishon, and it's actually also known as Chodesh HaAviv. So we're going to talk about each of those. And we'll start off by looking at this Ramban. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but we'll talk about the key ideas. And I also included in the English translation in case anybody would appreciate having that, you know, to read after. And the Ramban goes on to explain how initially the or and certainly the way we see it in the Torah is our months are referred to by numbers, not by names. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz is not in the Torah. That comes later. And we'll talk about that soon. But rather, it's numbers. Okay, so I'll read a little bit of the Ramban. V'ta'am ha'chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim sheyimnu oso Yisrael chodesh harishon u'mimenu yimna kol ha'chadashim sheni v'shlishi ad tashlum hashana b'shneim asar chodesh. And what is the reason for this? Why are we counting the months by first, second, third, fourth? Here's the answer, says the Ramban. Kidei sheyiyeh zeh zichron b'neis gadol. Hashem wants us always to remember the big miracle that happened. And that's Yetzias Mitzrayim, of course. Ki b'chol ish shenazkir hachadashim, yiyeh neis nizkar. Every time we mention the months, we're going to, or we're supposed to, be thinking about the big miracle. We're supposed to be thinking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And if you could stop sharing the screen for a minute, because I want to just discuss this a little bit. And that is that Yetzias Mitzrayim is such a foundational element in Jewish life. There are so many mitzvos that we have, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are so many practices that we have, not only mitzvos, right? We have, you know, mezuzah, and we mention it in Kiddush, and you know, a host of other things. Even the Yantiv of Sukkos is connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we have other mitzvos, such as, you know, being kind to the widow and to the stranger, because Geirim Hayisem Eretz Mitzrayim. So Yetzias Mitzrayim was something so foundational to our experience and transformed us to who we became as a Jewish people, that this is something that we should remember all of the time. And so honestly, until I read this Ramban, I really didn't think about this fact so much, because I'm so used to, you know, talking about Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. But there's something to be said with using also the names of Rishon, and why the Torah references as Chodesh HaRishon, because when you talk about second, the second month, the third month, it's always part of a sequence. The second to what? The third to what? And therefore, every single month, we're really connected to and remembering this tremendous miracle that Hashem did for us with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then the Ramban goes on to compare that to the concept of Shabbos, and how when we talk about Shabbos and we say the Shir Shalyom, he doesn't mention the Shir Shalyom in particular, but I'm connecting to the Shir Shalyom. He mentioned specifically the fact that we say Rishon LeShabbos, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, because we're all tying it back to Shabbos. And the same concept is over here. And to explain the meaning of the Pasuk, because if you looked at the Pasuk, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, we see that Hashem says, HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim, Rishon hu lachem l'chadshei hashana. What does it mean when the Pasuk says that it is the first for you for the months of the year? And the point the Ramban says is it's not really the first month, you know, in general, right? We have Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year for the creation of the world, which is a universal truth. But this is the first for you as a people. This marks the start of our nationhood, of our relationship with Hashem on a particular level as the Jewish people. And the next point that he says, which is very interesting, is that Nisani or Siva, and I don't know if this came up in other classes that you've done on the in the Rosh Chodesh series, you can tell me if it did, but they're not actually Jewish names. They actually came up from Babel. When the Jewish people, when Bnei Yisrael were living in Babel, they kind of adapted. It's an adaptation of Persian words, and in Paras and Madai, they have similar words for their months. And so once we're so that's where it started from, and that's why we find in other books. So you could share the screen another minute. We're looking at this the last paragraph of the Ramban. The Ramban goes on to explain that Kasher Alinu. I'm looking at the second line of the last paragraph. Kasher Alinu mi Babel v'niskayim Masha Amar Hakasav v'lo yomar ot Chai Hashem Asher Hela es Bnei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim ki im Chai Hashem Asher Hela v'Asher Hivi es Bnei Yisrael me'aretz Tzafon chazarnu likro hachadashim b'shem shenekran be'aretz Babel. Then it became normative practice. So we're in good company. Like that's when it started, that we start referring to the months as Nisan Iyar. In order to remember, ki shama madnu misham ha'lanu Hashem yisparach, ki Allah ila ha'shemos nisan iyar, v'zulasam shemos parsim, v'lo yimtza rak b'sifrei nevi'ei bavel. So that's when, if you look in the books of the Tanakh, you'll find like in the Svarim that are following Gullahs Babel, right? Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, we're describing that time period, Megillas Esther, where it speaks about the Chodesh HaRishon, who Chodesh Nisan, it's defining Chodesh, Chodesh HaRishon is Chodesh Nisan, when he Pilpur who are Goral. So what's interesting is really now we have both the phrase Chodesh HaRishon, which reminds us of Geulas Mitzrayim, and when we use the names Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, we're reminded that not only did Hashem redeem us from Geulas Mitzrayim, but Hashem redeemed us from a future exile, from Geulas Babel as well. And so both of those names, Nisan as well as Chodesh HaRishon, remind us of our redemption and remind us of the miracles that Hashem created for us and Hashem performed actually for us. So that's the big idea of what the Ramban is teaching us. What is the origin of the names Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and what is the message? Why are we counting from Nisan? That's the first month and not Rosh Hashanah, because Hashem wants us to know this marks the start of our Jewish nationhood. Our Jewish nationhood originates in a time period that is embedded with miracles. That's who we are. That's our identity. Like the amazing, I think it's the Shrekky song, right? We are a miracle. That one. Okay, so let's look at source number eight. The Sefarna goes on to talk about another interpretation about why the pasuk says Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. So you can say that the Ramban really, when he talked about the Lachem, what does it mean for you? He was explaining the second Lachem in the pasuk where it says Rishon Hu Lachem Lachodesh Hashana, that this is the first month for you as Jews of your counting of the months of the year. But the Sefarno was talking about what does it mean that HaChodesh Hazeh, this month, is Lachem for you. So let's look at the Sefarno. Source number eight. Mikan va'eilech yiyu ha'chadashim shalachem. From now on, these months are yours. La'asos ba'hem kirtzonchem, that you can do whatever you want with these months. Aval bimei ha'shibud lo hayu yimeichem shalachem, but during slavery, time was not yours. Aval hayu la'avdus achirim v'ratzonem, but you had to be at the beck and call of your taskmasters, right? You had to, be ready to serve. V'lafichach, and therefore, rishon hu lachem lachodesh hashanah, this is your first month of the months of the year. Ki bo hischel mitzuyaschem habchiri. This is the point where you start your identity. You can stop sharing the screen for a minute. This is at the point at where you have agency over time. Raise your hand if you've ever thought or said to anybody, I have no time, right? Or I'm running out of time. Yes, this is something that's so like natural for us to say. But what this Sefarno is really telling us is that we are in control of our time. Time does not control us. Yes, we have a finite number of hours in the day. And we can certainly ask Hashem for Hatzlacha Bizman, which is, a tefillah that we can ask Hashem, help me be successful in time. Because, if you've ever gone to the mall or with a teenager or with yourself and you come home and your husband asks you, well, that's all you bought. I'm like, please don't talk to me about it. I really, really tried to find stuff, but like, okay. And then sometimes you go and it's amazing. You find like everything that's on your list. And that's a gift to have Hatzlacha Bizman. But even with that being said, we have to remember we're thinking about the concept of freedom. And many of us feel kind of a bit enslaved to time as the deadline of Pesach is coming towards us. And we have to remember that we control time, asking ourselves, how do we want to prioritize? What are the most important things for us? Or, like the famous mashal about, what are the rocks in your life and what are the pebbles in your life and what is the sand? And if you put the rocks, if you fill up the container with the rocks first, then everything else will fill up. But if you fill it up with the sand first, which are the things that are less important, then there is no place often for the rocks, for the things that are most important to you. And that is a super important message in thinking about freedom is time doesn't control me, but I am in control of my time. How do I want to use my time? I am in charge of that. And I think about that a lot because, I'm looking at my calendar and you might say like, oh, if you look at somebody's calendar, you can see like what they prioritize as being important. And, Baruch Hashem, my cal my some of my kids are away for yeshiva or out of town for school and they have to catch up on all the doctor's appointments. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on. But we can also remind ourselves it's about how we view that and how we see that this is a priority, right? Taking care of our children's health. And figuring out how to infuse meaning in even those very mundane activities. You could just sit in the car and, everybody's with their ear pods doing their own thing. Or you can take that as an opportunity to really connect and have important conversations to maximize the usage of that time. So that's the message of the Sephorno and HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Time is now yours. We are in control of time. Now we are going to move on to the next name of the month, which is Chodesh Nisan. So, if you can share the screen, we're looking now at source number 9. We already mentioned the origin of the name Nisan, right? It derives from the time that we spent in Galus Bavel in Persia, but it also has an important message. It's reminding us of our miraculous redemption from Galus Bavel. And there's some interesting things that the Gemara talks about in relationship with the month of Nisan. Firstly, the very famous one, Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asi Din Ligael. There's this whole notion of how Nisan is very much connected to redemption. And that's what we're davening for so hard. That should happen immediately, both on a global level and also on a personal level. Because sometimes we feel locked, we feel stuck, we feel limited. And Nisan is all about breaking limitations. In addition to that, there's another very interesting Gemara. And sometimes when I'm preparing for a shiur, I don't realize, but like I'll say things out loud or I'll ask my husband a question and the kids overhear it and then they'll tell it to me after. I was like, oh, you were actually listening to what I was saying? That's really funny. So my son Shmuley was like, oh yeah, Ma, I heard you talking about, if you see Huna in a dream, who was a great sage, then because Huna has a nun in his name, you're going to experience a nace. You're going to have a miracle happen to you. But if you see Hanina, Hananya, Yochanan, you're going to have nisim. You're going to have double miracles because there are two nuns in those names. So my children started to think about all the names of everybody in our family and who has a nun and how many nuns. And we said, okay, we all need to see Menachem Mendel, their older brother, in a dream to experience double miracles. But there are many svarim. It sounds like a gimmick or a funny thing, seeing somebody in a dream. What's the message? But the svarim explain that this is, it's a concept. And the concept is it's kind of an illusion that the month of Nisan is very much connected to not just miracles, but double miracles, incredible miracles, all the miracles that were connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in thinking about the difference between Nisan and Tishrei, so if you can stop sharing the screen for a minute, I want to talk about this for a little bit. And that is that, as I mentioned earlier, there's a 6-month divide between Tishrei and Nisan. And really, there are two firsts that we have. We have Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, and then we have Chodesh Nisan, which is Rosh Chodeshim. What indeed is the difference between the two? So the Medrash actually talks about the fact that it says that Mishabachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olama Kava Bo Rosh Chodeshim B'Shanim. When Hashem created the world, he established heads of months and the head of the year. But when did this concept of the Rosh Chodeshim really kick in? Kishabachar B'Yaakov U'banav. When Hashem chose Yaakov and his children, when Hashem chose B'nai Yisrael, that's when the concept of Rosh Chodeshim, when Chodesh Nisan, really kicks in. What's the difference between the two? Hashem's creation of the world is a universal concept, right? That's the creation of mankind on Rosh Hashanah, was the birth of Adam. And so that is the concept of Hashem running the world through nature. And it's a universal truth how Hashem relates to all of creation and to all of humanity. But Chodesh Nisan marks the beginning of our nationhood. And it's specifically Chodesh Nisan, that's our, as the Ramban referenced before, that is Lachem, that's for us as the Jewish people, that's our Rosh Chodeshim, that's the beginning of our Jewish New Year in a certain sense, not in our collective universal New Year, but in our particular mission as the Jewish people. And the message there is that we are a miracle. Going back to the words of that song, we are the we're very much connected to the month of Nisan because we're a people of miracles, and it's a month of miracles. And that's why it's very interesting. There's a very famous question by following. Obviously, Yetzias Mitzrayim is very much linked to Matan Torah, right? When we talk about freedom, what is the purpose of freedom? You ask a kid, what would make you feel free? And little children might say, oh, if I don't have any rules, if I could stay home, I don't have to go to school, I could eat whatever I want for supper. That's freedom. And of course, it doesn't take that much maturity to understand that that's not freedom. That's really slavery, right? Freedom means true freedom is being able to have things in place to allow you to express your essence, who you really are. And freedom for a Jew, obviously, is the ability to be able to express your neshama, right? To be able to tap into the core identity of who we are, we really are. We're not just bodies who happen to have a soul. We are souls. We are neshamos that happen to be in bodies. And that's who we are. That's really our core identity. So, there's if we think about freedom for different things, if you ask flowers, what would make you feel truly free? Raise your hand if you appreciate flowers, right? So, the flowers that look so beautiful on our table, if you think about it, they're not really free because they were uprooted from the soil and they're actually going to die because they're no longer able to grow. So their life is short-lived. So if you ask, if in theory, if our plants, if our flowers could speak, they would tell us, freedom for me would be being rooted to the soil. If we ask an animal, if we take our kids or grandchildren, or we like ourselves to go to the zoo, not going to get into the debate about, whether it's ethical to have a zoo or not. But some people argue and say, like, it's not fair to the animals, right? They should be allowed to run in the wild. That is true freedom. The poor tiger, the poor elephant confined to this small space and really wants to be in the wild because that's true freedom for an animal. And when we ask a human being, or we ask particularly the Jewish people, what is true freedom for you? If our neshama, if we're listening to the voice of our neshama, true freedom would be if we have the opportunity to express our soul, because what makes our neshama feel free sometimes may make our body feel like, limited, right? Oh, if I'm giving tzedakah, that's true freedom for our neshama, but our body might feel like, oh, you're using that up and you could just enjoy that for yourself. So you might feel, your body might not feel so great, but your soul feels fantastic. And you can think about that in regard to any other mitzvah as well. And of course, most mitzvos in Yiddishkeit is really a way to bring unity between the guf and the neshama, because really it's true freedom for both. We can only express our neshama within the body. In a body, a soul without a body does not have the capacity to do mitzvos. That's why when somebody passes away, we are their hands and feet to be able to continue doing mitzvos because they can no longer do that. So we're on this theme of what is true freedom and how we're a people of freedom. And the Rosh Chodeshim is a month of freedom because we are the miracle nation. And that's why We start the counts of our Jewish calendar. Well, obviously we have Rosh Hashanah, but in terms of our nationhood, starts from Chodesh Nisan, and this ties. I was going on this direction and talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim leading to Matan Torah, because it's not just freedom from Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's freedom to be Avdei Hashem, which is counterintuitive, but we're freedom to express ourselves actually comes through the limits that the Torah gives us, and that enables us to express our true freedom. So at Matan Torah, Hashem introduces himself not as Anochi Hashem Elokecha, who is the creator of Shamayim Ba'aretz, the creator of heaven and earth, but Hashem introduces himself as Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. And many people ask, like, why? Why don't you know? Many of the Mefarshim, many of the commentaries ask, like, why doesn't Hashem introduce himself as creator of heaven and earth? Isn't that like the starting point of all of it, the foundation of our faith? God is creator. So there are different answers to that question, but I want to focus on one of them, and that is that Hashem is pointing out to us that we are in a relationship. Yiddishkeit is a relationship, and in this relationship, I want to talk about the fact that I have a miraculous relationship with you that goes above nature. Yes, I am the God who created heaven and earth, but that's playing by the rules of nature. That's for everybody. That's for humanity. But for you, B'nai Yisrael, I'm going to go above nature. So I'm introducing myself as Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, because our relationship supersedes nature, and that's a two-way street too, because we reciprocate in that way. I mean, think about the kinds of things B'nai Yisrael have done throughout the ages that don't make sense, right? That defy the laws of nature. And when we say defy the laws of nature, even, when we think about something that, like, this seems like, come on, just be normal, play by the normal rules. But, even now, like, people picking themselves up and going to Eretz Yisrael and helping, and they're like, you're leaving your jobs, you just stopping, and they're like, well, maybe that doesn't make so much sense. Like, but no, but we are a people of miracles. We're here to help others. We're here to do good things. We're here to make this world a better place, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it doesn't follow the rules of nature. That's the definition of what it means to be a Jewish person. And the truth is, Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim comes from the root Mitzarim, which means confinement and limitation. Yetzias Mitzrayim was not just leaving a geographical place, a specific place, a certain country, but it's leaving Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's leaving our own Mitzarim Ugvulim. It's leaving our own limitations. Egypt, Mitzrayim, was a society that worshipped the power of nature, and they worshipped the power of people. Right? They worshipped Paro as a god. They worship the Nile River because it's the power of nature to irrigate the land. And they were very scientifically advanced. They had a lot of ingenuity, and people who read about the history of Egypt and the wisdom and how they built pyramids and how they baked bread. But that's the power of nature. And the whole concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not that we don't believe in the amazing concept of nature, but that we can go beyond nature. We're not limited by nature. That's the concept of both how Hashem is relating to us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, and also how we relate to Him in the two-way relationship. So that's the idea of Chodesh Nisan. And now we're going to move on to the fact that Nisan is also referred to as Chodesh Ha'aviv. So what is Aviv? It's amazing. My sister from Canada came to visit us for Pesach, and she's like, wow, spring break really comes really quickly in Baltimore. She's like, everything's green. In Canada, I guess, takes a little bit longer. But when we talk about Chodesh Aviv, when we talk about the seasons, we're talking about the seasons in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, I think it's nice that our seasons align pretty closely, but that's really, our minds and hearts are in Eretz Yisrael. So what is the concept of Aviv? What is the concept of spring? So let's look at source number 12. The Torah tells us, Shamar es chodesh ha'aviv v'asisa pesach la'Hashem Elokecha, ki b'chodesh ha'aviv v'otziach Hashem Elokecha mimitzrayim laila. Keep the month of spring. So here, this month is referred to as the month of spring, not just what you mentioned earlier, chodesh harishon. And make sure that you offer the Pesach offering, make it Pesach in the Chodesh Ha'aviv, because this is when Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. And this word shamar is a bit curious, right? It's interesting. What does it mean, shamar? Shamar is from the word like shamar, Shabbos, shamar, v'zachor. What does it mean to keep it? What are we trying to do? So Rashi, in source number 13, goes on to explain that we need to make sure to keep Pesach in the spring. Make sure to figure it out that your calendar, even though HaChodesh HaZalachan Rosh Chodashim, we observe a lunar calendar. We need to make sure, Shamar's Chodesh Aviv, make sure that Pesach stays in the spring. And before Pesach arrives, you should make sure that the Aviv is can also be referring to the barley ripening. So it means spring, and it could also be referring to the Korban Omer. And in order for it to ripen, it needs to be the spring weather outside, the spring season, because we need to bring the Korban Omer on Pesach. And so that's also a reason why Pesach needs to be in the spring. And here we see this concept of aligning the solar and lunar calendar by making sure to add a leap year before the month of Nisan in case it's not going to, it's case it's moved too far away that it wouldn't be happening in the spring. And another interesting point that we see in the word Aviv, which I came across this year, is that Aviv actually in source number 14, Rabbeinu Bachya says, can be broken down into two words. Av Yud Beis, the father of 12. This is going back to the idea that the month of Nisan is the starting month, Rosh Chodashim, right? It's the father, the starting point of the 12 months of the year that follow. So I want to stop and speak about that for a few minutes. And the concept that spring is very much about renewal. You know, I think we're so ready for spring, right? You know, the past week, it's been so rainy, and every day we look and we're hoping, I think this week is supposed to be a lot better. But there's something that gives everybody a sense of freshness and vitality when we look outside, and there happens to be an apple tree on my block. My neighbor has an apple tree, and it's amazing to see like those tiny little buds starting to sprout, and that sense that, you know, we can also grow, the sense of vitality and newness and hischatzus that we were talking about earlier when we spoke about the concept of chodesh versus yerach and chiddush. That's also very much embedded in the world that's surrounding us. The growth that's happening outside very much reminds us and is reflective of the spiritual growth that we're supposed to be happening, that we're supposed to ex be experiencing inside of us. I just have to share something funny. You know, one of my kids was feeling a little bored in school when Adar Aleph came around. He's like, Ma, you know, I'm so bored or whatever. A bit of complaining, and he's like, "Oh, there's nothing new." Like he was, I guess he was missing this like feeling of his chachas in his life, and I don't know how it came up, but I kind of made a joke like, "Okay, what do you need? Like a new pair of socks?" And it was like, you know, a funny pair of socks. Like, what are we gonna do fun for Chodesh Adar? And he's like, "Actually, you know, how about if I get a pair of funny socks for every perek I finish learning?" And it became like this shtick. Like all his friends are waiting to see what socks he's wearing and how it's connected to what they're learning. And, you know, sometimes it's a little thing, you know, hischatzus, you know, it's human nature. We're always looking. That's how we were created. We're looking for the next, the newest, right? You know, for some people, it's like the newest iPhone, the next upgrade, the new car. And, you know, Hashem created us with that nature, but really, you know, the new outfit we need for Pesach. Yes, everybody should make the time to go shopping to get something new. But when we think about this concept of the growth and the hischatzus, it's really supposed to be something. It's our neshama really looking for hischatzus and looking for growth and finding ways to tap into that spiritually. And I think Misora, you know, always has these opportunities. You have no shortage of opportunities for learning and for tapping into personal growth. And the more we learn, the more we're exposed to new ideas, the more you know, you hear an insight. Even for me, like that's why I love teaching and preparing is like, you know, it gave me a new excitement that I didn't have in thinking about approaching Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. And like, wow, you know, just walking outside today and seeing, and it was a very beautiful sunny day, and seeing everything growing made me feel about like, okay, so what are the things, what is the new growth I want to bring into myself, into my family, into the students that I teach and into the people that I connect with. So that's the Chodesh Ha'aviv. And what's also very interesting is this concept of growth. You know, when we look outside and everything seemed like they were dead, but really there was like life growing. That, you know, the Japanese maple that's outside of my, you know, front yard, and I'm looking closely. It's like, oh wow, you look dead, but there was no leaves. But like, wow, there really is growth underneath that. The Torah quotes Rav Hai Gon, and he says that in the month of Nisan, talking about the miracles and the miracle of miracles, the double miracles, is going to be Trias HaMesim, because, and that's why he says Lahalacha. It's not just like, oh yes, you know, concept in theory, but Lahalacha, that's why on Shabbos Chol HaMoed on Pesach, we read the Haftorah of Yechezkel about the Atzamos HaYaveshos, the dry bones, right? That famous prophecy, because there is this concept of the things that look dry and brittle are going to come back to life. So it's true both on a you know, level outside in the vegetation, and also on a spiritual level, and the possibilities of growth that we can experience within ourselves. So we've spoken about Chodesh HaRishon. We've spoken about Chodesh Nisan. We've spoken about Chodesh HaAviv. And I know a key emphasis of this course is what are, you know, getting a bit, you know, maybe mystical. You know, what is the zodiac? What is the sign of this month? So we're going to be looking at source number 15. And the mazel of this month is the tleh, the lamb. And there's many associations. I'm seeing this fuzzy. I'm not sure why. Maybe I'll come to in a minute. There's many associations that we can think about in terms of this sheep, this lamb. First of all, of course, we think about the Korban Pesach, right? We offer the Korban Pesach during the month of Nisan, and we remember this at the Seder table as well. And it also represents who we are as a people, right? I think that for a long time, you know, my grandmother was a Holocaust survivor, and you know, it was hard for me growing up as a teenager. And you know, the World War II, the Holocaust, I mean, it was a very much a part of my childhood growing up, because my grandmother would share, talk about it, and we'd hear about it, but it also seemed very distant from my experience as an American teenager. And I think that what's been going on this year really has reminded us, unfortunately, that we are this sheep amongst the 70 wolves. And whether it's overt anti-Semitism or, you know, covert anti-Semitism, unfortunately, it is there. And this lamb, this sign, Hashem is we're being reminded that, you know what, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, this little sheep amongst the 70 nations, and Hashem can do create this miracle the same for us again. Other symbolisms related to the sheep is the sheep, when you think about the sound of that the sheep makes, it's a sound that arouses compassion. It's like, bah, you know, like that like poor little sheep. And we hope and pray that, you know, Hashem has the compassion on us. We daven to Hashem that Hashem should have this compassion, just like the shepherd has towards his sheep. And one last idea related to the sheep is the concept of, you know, you can kind of see it as like the two sides of the same coin, right? You know, every character trait has a positive and a negative side. A lot of people were, you know, some people saw the Jews going to their deaths during the Holocaust as like, oh, they went like sheep to the slaughter, and we're not going to let that happen again. And so that's like, oh, sheep, you know, they're very meek. They don't have an identity, right? They're not able to defend themselves. And maybe in Mitzrayim, we felt like that sheep. But on the other hand, Hashem is protecting us, right? Hashem took us out of the exile, out of Golos Mitzrayim. And the positive aspect of the sheep is represents the concept of humility, which is a beautiful trait, not allowing people to step on you, but being humble. And humility is actually the foundation of growth. Humility is the foundation of Yiddishkeit. And it's not the time right now. We have other things I wanted to discuss, but I'm just going to mention very briefly is that's really the whole message of eating matzah. When we're eating matzah at the Seder table, the matzah is the message of humility. It's flat, it's simple, and that's how we approach our relationship with Hashem. The foundation of the relationship is a simple, pure commitment, which is kind of the message of the humility of the sheep. And then we grow in that relationship and we add more flavor to it. But that's the foundation of our Judaism. That's the foundation of our Yiddishkeit. Every month you've been learning also is connected to a Sheva, to a particular tribe. And this month, it's the month of Yehuda. So what is the message of Yehuda? Every Shevet is special in its own unique way, but Yehuda reminds us of the fact that we are called firstly, we're referred to as Yehudim, right? The Jewish people. In the Torah, we're referred to as Bnei Yisrael or Bnei Yaakov. But at a certain point in history, also, we became Yehudim. That was also around the time of the Galus Bavel. And it's related to Hodah. Hodah has two connotations. It has the connotation of humility and also the concept of gratitude. A humble person is grateful. An arrogant person, thinks that, I came to everything on my own. A humble person recognizes the people in their lives that helped them get to where they were. And a humble person is also comfortable expressing gratitude. An arrogant person doesn't want to be beholden to anybody, so they're never going to say thank you. But that's the trait of Yehuda. And Yehuda, of course, we know is the origin of where Malchus Yehuda comes from, right? The kings, our Jewish kings come from Malchus Yehuda. Of course, there was also Malchus Yisrael, but Mashiach, David, comes from Malchus Yehuda, is a descendant from Yehuda. And Yehuda is, so as we said, he's connected to the concept of gratitude, humility. That's also the concept of a king. In Judaism, the concept of kingship is not arrogance, right? You're amazing. But your humility that you're here to serve others, that we're all beholden to Hashem. And Pesach is all about stepping into our nobility, tapping into, we all come from different shvatim, that's true, but we're all part of the collective Jewish people, and there's a message embedded within each of the shvatim. And Sheva Yehuda teaches us about the concept of stepping into our nobility, stepping into our ability to be leaders, each in our own spheres of influence, and using our power of speech to express gratitude. And this also connects to the fact that, we talked about Rosh Hashanah and we talked about Rosh Chodesh, Aleph Nisan being the start of the particular our nationhood. But it's interesting that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is actually Rosh Hashanah for kings and for festivals, right? There's four Rosh Hashanahs on the Jewish calendar. There's Aleph Nisan, Rosh Hashanah. There is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There is Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah for the trees. And there's Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is, sorry, not Rosh Chodesh. I meant to say for all these. I'm so busy talking about Rosh Chodesh. I meant to say Rosh Hashanah. There's four Rosh Hashanahs. Rosh Hashanah, Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Elul is Rosh Hashanah for tithing the animals. And Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for the kings. So it's very much connected to Yehuda, kingship, and stepping into our nobility. And the last point that I wanted to conclude with is what is the faculty of the month, the sense that the month is related to? And Nisan is connected to the power of speech. And that's really what we do at the Seder, the mitzvah of the Seder. Of course, we have, mitzvahs that are deoraisa, such as eating matzah, and then there's mitzvahs that are derabanan, and then there's minhagim. And one of the other mitzvos deoraisa is to tell the Pesach story, lesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, v'chol hamar b'lesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, harei zeh meshubach. So ever since we started using Zoom during COVID, one of the most popular famous words was mute yourself, right? Or unmute yourself, you're muted. So on Pesach, we're not supposed to be muted. We're supposed to unmute ourselves and we're supposed to express ourselves and talk about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and talk about what redemption looks like for us, how to leave our own Mitzrayim Ugvulim, as we spoke about before, speak how to break out of our own limitations. So sorry, give me 1 second. I'm just checking that I'm not missing anything from what I wanted to share. Yes. So here's something very interesting. In the book of Shemos, the book of Shemos begins with the names of the Shvatim, right? These are the names of the Shvatim that went down to Mitzrayim. But then when you get to Perek Beis, it's very interesting. There's no names. It just talks about, Vayikach ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach bas Levi, right? A man, a nameless man, marries a nameless woman, and there's no names. And we also don't see a lot of talking going on. This is the time period of the slavery, and that is the definition of being a slave, that you have no identity, you have no name. As we saw, during the Holocaust, you're not a name, you're a number, you're not an individual, and you have no voice. You're a slave. You don't get to speak. You get to be told what to do. And like we spoke before about what the Sfarna said, as a slave, you have no control over your time. People control your time. So what is the definition of freedom? Why is the faculty of the month speech? Because a free person is a person that gets to express themselves. A free person gets to ask questions. That's why in the Haggadah, we're not afraid by questions. The Jewish people celebrate questions. That's part of who we are as Jews. We celebrate the questions. Sometimes the questions are better than the answers. We hope that Mashiach will come very soon and give us the answers to those questions that we still don't have an answer to. But that's what the Haggadah is all about, stepping into our freedom and sharing the story and asking questions. And what's so beautiful about Pesach is it's this opportunity to not only tap into our collective family story, but it's also a time that people get together with their individual families, right? And create their own stories. And there's so many rituals that people have created over Pesach. Ma, when are you making the strawberry ice cream? To them, it's like, maybe I made it once, but like in their mind, it's like tradition, right? Right? This is how can we have Pesach without strawberry ice cream? So that's the stories that we create, and we have the opportunity to create the story, to tell that story. And it's a very interesting point that the Rav Chassar Rebbe actually points out, and he says that the word paro can be broken up into para. I hear Julie ad-libbing with me, right? Bad speech. When we talk about speech, it's not just like, oh, talk, say whatever comes to your mind, but there's no speech, you're speechless, or you have no voice, you don't get to speak. And then there can be negative speech. And then there is Pesach, the Pri Etz Chaim, the Arizal, quoted in the Pri Etz Chaim, explains Pesach can be broken down into a mouth that speaks, transforming the para, paro, para, the negative speech, into Pesach, positive speech. And so, as we conclude tonight's share, I want to wish everybody a very, very happy Rosh Chodesh. If you have the opportunity to observe the solar eclipse and to offer a tefillah to Hashem, that the message of the moon and this tiny crescent of a moon overpowering and over eclipsing the light of the sun, which seems so much stronger, but we are the people of the moon, so that miracle should come true. And especially, this is a class of women. We all know how much women are associated with the moon, and how the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is a gift for us women. So that's also something for us to think about, and to especially maybe Chodesh Nisan should be a month that women extra celebrate in an extra special way because it's their Rosh Chodeshim. And to summarize, the key points that we spoke about is to remember that Chodesh Nisan is a month of Hischatzos, to tap into our power of Hischatzos, and especially in the realm of Ruchnius, in the realm of spiritual growth and emotional growth and connection with Hashem. And to remember that we celebrate the Chodesh, and the word Chodesh versus Yarach is used because it's not same old, but I want a life of chiddush, a life of newness, a life of vitality. And to remember that this is also Chodesh HaRishon. We are a people of miracles. That's the Chodesh HaRishon. Rishon from what? Rishon from Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is the month of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And also, it's Chodesh Nisan. Not only did Hashem do a miracle for us back then with Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Hashem continued to do miracles for us with the miracle of the redemption from Galus Babel, where the names Nisan Iyar originate from. And of course, it's Chodesh HaAviv, the growth that is happening outside reminds us of the birth of new possibilities that we can experience inside. And all of this very much connects to the miracle that we can create in our own lives. Of course, we want the miracles from top down, but we can create our own miracle. We can create our own story. And to remember, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, I am in control of my time. I can think about how I want to best maximize the time that Hashem gives me here on earth. And I am also stepping into my freedom, my capacity of speech, that I have the power to create my own story. Just to add a point to that, part of telling our own story is, many times we experience this, the same experience can be seen in two different ways. It depends the story that we tell ourselves. So also thinking about that, I'll never forget 1 year Pesach, I was feeling particularly overwhelmed. And I went down to my Pesach kitchen. I had a new baby, and my husband was out of town, and it was like 4 days before Pesach. And I was like, I don't even know where to begin. There was like, and our family minhag is like to make everything from scratch. So there were like cases and cases of produce to peel, and I make my own tomato sauce and my own everything. And I'm like, Hashem, help me. I'm feeling like this is a lot. And my daughter turns to me and she says, I love Pesach. She was all of 8 years old then. And I'm like, really? Tell me why, please. And she's like, oh, I love the sound of the silver foil crinkling, when you cover the sink. And I love the sound of the water on the silver foil. She was picking such interesting things that I honestly didn't even notice. Like she was giving me a new pair of eyes to look at. She's like, and I love the meat that you make on Pesach and the strawberry ice cream. And when I saw it through her eyes, I kind of like mustered up the energy to like, okay, you've got this. Hashem is going to help you. And I started peeling that first item that I needed to peel. But it's like, okay, what's the story that we tell ourselves? Is it a story of overwhelm, or is it a story that, you got this? And what a gift, Baruch Hashem, that you have people in your life that you can cook for, and that you have the ability to be able to enjoy, Pesach. So that's the message of creating and telling our own story, the power of speech of Chodesh Nisan. And also it's the month of Yehuda, stepping into our nobility and expressing gratitude. And may Hashem make this month, as we said, if you see double nuns, it's a month of double miracles, and may this happen speedily in our days, even before Rosh Chodesh. So I'll stay on if anybody has any
Amen.
questions. I'm happy to.
Thank you so much. Anna, that was amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions? If anyone has any questions, you can sort of raise your hand or let us know. If not, I will wish everybody a good night and early Chodesh Tov, and hope to see everybody Tuesday night in person, as well as Wednesday. And then, like I always say, then we're leaving you on your own for a few weeks.
Thank you
So
so
thank
much.
you
Thank
so
you
much.
so
Very
much.
much.
It
It was
was very
beautiful.
special. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're
Got
welcome.
a lot of chizik. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
you. Thank
Thank
you.
you so much.
You're welcome.
Very inspiring, really. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you for
Okay, have a good
coming.
night, everyone.
Good
Thank
night.
you. Good night. Good night.